Thank you, Brother Schuler. I could listen to that all night. Appreciate Brother Schuler. New grandpa back there in the back. So happy for them. Pray for them as they take care of their grandbaby as their baby. And I'll tell you what, thank the Lord for good grandparents that step up and be what they need to be for a baby. And by the way, a baby's worth it all if you can raise them in the house of God. And so pray for the Schulers. Glad to see Brother Stan back with us tonight. Amen. Miss Brother Stan. And love him to death. And I'm glad to see him back where he sits. And we appreciate you, Brother Stan, and pray for you. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 7. We read verse 7 last week. And just to kind of recap last week, we're studying the Holy Spirit, or pneumatology, if you want to be fancy. And so the word pneuma means breathe or wind, and it's another word for the Holy Spirit. And so last week we talked about the Holy Spirit is our companion, he's our concealment, and he's our commitment of God to the believer. And so we kind of looked at those things, and some of these things that kind of cross again. And I hope that you'll bear with me tonight. We'll get a little more in depth of how the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry to two different classes of people, the lost and the saved. And so we'll look at those tonight. But John chapter 16, verse 7, and we'll read down through verse 15. And verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." By the way, just kind of get ahead of myself a little bit, is when he said that, the disciples went, they were nodding their heads, "Yeah, we got this," and they were going, "We don't know what he's talking about." Because let's look over just real quick while we're here, verse 17, notice what they said. "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us?" Can you imagine how they said that? You know, they're like, "Yeah, Lord, okay, we got it." They turned around like, "What is this that he's talking about?" Notice what else they said. "A little while, and yet ye shall see me, not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to my Father." What in the world is he talking about? So Jesus is going to explain to them the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help them get a grasp on what's going to happen. And by the way, without the Holy Spirit, the disciples could never really truly understand what Christ was talking about. And we'll look later on here in chapter 20 where he breathed on them the Holy Ghost and they received the Holy Ghost and they were enlightened. We'll talk about those things. But they were going, "We don't understand what he's saying." He said, "Okay, you're with us now, but you're going to leave us and then you're coming back for us." They didn't truly grasp that. By the way, none of us can grasp the sayings of the Lord without the Holy Spirit, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at that in a little while. But verse 8 says, "And when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And verse 12 says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them." Look at what he said now. He's like, I know, by the way, the Lord knew him. If you notice in verse 19, he knew their thoughts. He knew they were thinking. He knew that they couldn't understand this. But he was trying to explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the disciples to let them know that he's not leaving them without a representative from heaven. That they're not going to be without help. That they're going to have a help in the time that they need help. And he's going to be with them all of the time, just as Jesus was with them all of the time. And so he says in verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth," the Holy Spirit has many names in the Scriptures, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, just many sayings, they're all the same, "come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whoso he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you.
All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he, the Holy Spirit, take of mine and shall show it unto you. So after I pray, we'll talk about the Spirit of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. God, again, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your help and your comfort through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we could never make it through this world and the trials and the tribulations and the storms and God, and understanding your word without the Holy Spirit. So thank you for giving us your Spirit and helping us, God, to understand your word and understand not only what's happening now, but the things to come. And Father, we ask that you would help us tonight as we look into your word, that you would help us to have an open heart and open mind to you, and that you would just fill us tonight, Lord, with the goodness of your word. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. So we'll look at some things tonight. And so the disciples, of course, were kind of questioning, what is going on? What is he talking about? And so we see that not only did they not understand what he was saying, they didn't really understand the true New Testament ministry that the Holy Spirit was going to have. They didn't understand. They understood the Old Testament economy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost would come upon them. They would fulfill the purpose which God had for them. Then the Holy Spirit left. He would come upon them and leave. In the Old Testament. So that's what the disciples understood. They understood how he would come and maybe work in their life, but they were thinking, how is Christ going to be in us? How is he going to abide in us forever, as we've seen in chapter 14? And so Jesus goes and he's going to explain a little bit. He's going to give really kind of a synopsis or a kind of a just a general saying about the Holy Spirit and what his ministry will be, both to the lost and to the saved. And so he's speaking, of course, to the disciples. I believe he's speaking to us tonight. One of the greatest needs in the Independent Baptist Church is teaching on the Holy Spirit, I believe. I believe we've allowed the Holy Rollers to have their way with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, I can read this verse and I can tell you that most denominations are wrong because the Holy Spirit does not want praise. He does not want glory. He does not want edification. He wants Christ and God to have that. Amen. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is God. Everybody understands that. That's the third person of the Trinity, but Christ was God embodiment. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? And so they're all one, but the Holy Spirit in His ministry does not want the praise, does not want the glory. Because why? Because you would get your eyes on the wrong thing. What has happened in our world today? People have gotten their eyes on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that's it. And why is that? Because they want special powers. Everybody wants to be a hero, don't they? A superhero. And they think that they can be that if I can claim in the church that the Holy Ghost is doing this in my life. I'm telling you, I wish, and I may, if Pastor let me, I will show you videos of what people claim the Holy Spirit lets them do. There's a church that I know of, they claim Holy Ghost laughter. They're calling it drunk in the Spirit, slain in the Spirit. And what they do is that the pastor, I've seen the video, I can show it to a little bit of you, to you, is that the pastor gets up here and he just starts laughing. And the church starts laughing. I would laugh too if I was in that church. There's the other church that starts barking. It's a barking. They bark in the Holy Ghost. Tell me where that is in the Scripture. Only thing I see that's kind of similar to that, the donkey speaks in the Bible, and so are they. There was one that I watched, and I studied this a long time ago, and I some of this stuff's still fresh in my mind, is that I was watching this one, and the pastor started preaching, and he started acting like he was drunk. And he just, hey, Holy Spirit's making me drunk. I'm drunk in the Spirit. And he walked around the church staggering like a drunk man. And I'm thinking, well, we've got it all wrong. That is not what the Holy Spirit is there for. And you know what? We make things more complicated. But we, you know what we do to things and what how other religions are started is that we want something that makes me look different than you. That I got superpowers and you don't. By the way, the Bible is a Bible of being selfless. Jesus came to this earth not to make himself of a reputation, but became a servant, was obedient unto the Father, being a servant. And so the Holy Spirit, it lives among those, and His ministry is along those same lines that He came to help minister to the saints and encourage them and help them and guide them, and not to say, oh, I hope I get praise. That's not what He wants. He doesn't even want you to name him, so to speak, in a way that would glorify him, but that it would glorify the Father. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, did not want glory. He wanted the Father to receive all glory and all praise. Now, let me say this too, and Pastor, you even said this today. I thought that was funny because this is in my notes, is that the Holy Ghost is not a spiritual influence or a force. A lot of people think, oh, there's a force. I feel a force. You don't know where you're at. By the way, I can tell you this, is that the Bible says, try the spirits. Plural. The devil has a spirit. A spirit of the world. There's a wrong spirit, there's a bad spirit, and there's a good spirit. And I'm telling you what, a lot of people, the spirit that they think they have is the wrong spirit. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not some force, and He's not just something that's something out there in mystical land that we can go obtain. He's something that indwells you. He's something that lives inside of you and helps you and guides you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He is a minister unto you through the Father. So let me give you two main points tonight, and we see them here in John chapter 16, mainly verses 8 through 15. Number one, we see the Holy Spirit in the lives of the sinners, verses 8 through 11. The Holy Spirit in the lives of the sinner. How He works in the lives of the Holy Spirit. His main job in the lives of the sinners is as He comes to them, He does not indwell them. He comes to them and He convicts them of sin and convinces them of Jesus Christ. Those two things are what we're going to look at through here. And we see that His main job is to draw men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and the law of God specifically to show man that Romans chapter 3 verse 10 and Romans chapter 3 verse 23 is true. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what He shows the lost man. He convinces them and convicts them of their sin and that Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Notice in verse 8, if you will, He gives you the three things that He came to do to the lost world. He said, and when He is come, He will reprove. That word reprove, if you look it up, it means convict. It means to convict. It means to be underneath conviction. Notice what's happening here. It says to verse 8, reprove the world of three things, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So let's look at those as we'll use the terminology of being convinced and being convicted, okay? Being convinced is to convey a truth to someone and convince them that truth is truth. Well, Jesus said, my word is truth. Jesus is the word, so Jesus is truth. And the Holy Spirit comes to convince the sinner that Jesus is truth. By the way, I went out to my door yesterday. You know, we're like most of you, don't use our front door, and so you just get a surprise every now and then out there. And I got a watchtower. Most of y'all may have got that too. I read it. I almost got converted. No, I'm just kidding. And I was thinking, you know, the whole title of that is that finding truth. And I was thinking, that's not truth. They're using the wrong book. They're using the book of man. It's still the book of the God-man. The book. There's only one book. And I was thinking that the Bible says, and the truth shall make you free. And what is truth? He convinces the lost person of truth. What is conviction? Conviction is that He points out what's wrong and what sin is. To reprove is to be convicted or be under conviction. And so notice what He says, the three things that He comes to the sinner or to the lost person, to the non-believer, and He convicts and convinces them of. Number one is of sin in verses 8 and 9. Verse 9 tells us of sin because they believe not on me. Of sin because they believe not on me. The conviction part of that is that the Holy Spirit, and I've already said this, comes to them and shows them that for the wages of sin is death. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And He has to show them that they're righteous as filthy rags, as Isaiah tells us. By the way, He came to me and showed me that I couldn't make it on my own, but He convicted me that I was a sinner. If you're saved, He did the same thing to you. That's why I have a problem with some people that so-called come and get saved, and you go ask them, say, well, are you a sinner? Well, I don't know. Well, you're not ready to get saved. That's the first part of salvation. When that Holy Ghost convicts you that you're a sinner and you see yourself as a sinner, hey, why would you need Jesus if you don't see yourself as a sinner? I teach the kids out there at the school. I say, if you're out in the water and you're playing, I come out there and grab you and put my hand around you and drag you to the beach, sure, and I start pumping on your chest and blowing on your mouth, you're going to fight me because you don't need me. You're not drowning. Number one, I wouldn't put my mouth on you. Yeah. But I'd use a bag. But if you're bobbing up and down, his pastor always gives the illustration of how his mom saved him and how he was about to drown. Guess what? If you're out there and you're bobbing up and down and I grab you and I save you, guess what? You're going to be thankful because you see that you can't do it on your own. You need help. You reached your hand out. And how do you do that? By the Holy Ghost coming by and saying you're wrong and Christ is right. But as He shows us that we're wrong, He convicts us, but He also convinces us is that Christ is the way. Amen. You know what happens? I never forget when we lived in the Regal House. Pastor knows what house that is. Was it Regal House or Cindy? Yeah, Regal House. I never will forget when we lived over there at Lakeland. A vacuum cleaner salesman came by, and it was Rainbow or one of those things. This is back in the day. That's back when people read newspapers. Y'all remember when people used to write with pens and pencils on paper? I told the kids today in class. I said, "I want y'all to get out pen and paper." They looked at me like, "What is that?" Some of them, you could tell, they never held a pen in their life. They were like this at the paper, fixing to get ready to type. And they were writing, they were like, "Brother Wiggins, there's not a spell check with this pen. I don't know how to spell." But as the vacuum cleaner salesman come by, you know what? They do two things. Number one, they show you how dirty your carpet is. You know what I'm talking about. You know what they tell you? Go get your vacuum cleaner. Like, I got the good one. This is Eureka. $29 at Walmart. Watch this thing. And you go and, you know what I'm saying? You go over it six times just to get it suck up a little piece of paper that we're too lazy to bend over and pick up. You know what I'm saying, right? You know? And we're too lazy to bend over and unplug it too, so we just pull the cord. Right? See, that's when you know you're guilty. And you're like, that's clean. And then he comes over there and does what? Shows you that it ain't clean. He shows you how dirty it is. And you know what we do? We go, we're embarrassed. Our kids play on that floor. But guess what he does? He shows that he convinces me that I need his product. Because of he's showing me how dirty my floors were. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. Shows us how dirty we are and how clean and white and how beautiful Christ is and what a Savior He is. He shows us that we're dying on our way to hell and that Jesus is the only way that we can get out of this. He convicts and He convinces that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Then notice the second thing. He shows that the second thing of righteousness. Notice in verse 10, if you will. He says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Now, what does he mean by that? Now, he convicts of righteousness. What does that mean? He shows us the very purity of Christ, of righteousness. He shows that Christ is the only righteous judge, and that he is right. And through that, it convicts us that we're so filthy, and that we're convinced of his righteousness, that we can only obtain it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Of righteousness. He points us to the truth. He convinces us that Jesus is the truth and that He paid the price. The Holy Spirit reveals to us simply that the righteousness is of Christ and not of our own. Then judgment, verse 11. He says of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. What does he mean by that? Well, the conviction part of that is that the Holy Spirit shows the unbelieving man that there is a coming judgment upon sin. For the wages of sin is death. That is the wage of sin. That is the penalty for death that the Holy Spirit shows that judgment is coming. But how does He convince us? He convinces us that Jesus Christ was through His blood, that He paid the price of judgment. And that for wages of sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You ever notice how those salvation verses kind of hinge a little bit every now and then? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, who we're sinners. Conviction part, Christ died for us, the convincing part. That's what Christ did for us. He convinces us of judgment. By the way, there's a lot of people that laugh at hell, don't they? You see them, I hear them about. How many times people use that word so just flippantly, telling somebody that they ought to go there. They don't understand the true judgment that they're speaking of. Judgment that man, without Jesus Christ, will have to pay for his own sin. Now let me give you another thing, as we see the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. In verses 12 through 15, we'll look at these real quick. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. By the way, these are kind of side points, but I don't want to give them to you. I didn't know where else to fit them in, so I just threw them in here. And so we see three things that, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, three things that we can do to the Holy Spirit as a believer. These are kind of side notes, but he can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 tells us that the word grieve means to make sad or sorry. We can grieve the Holy Spirit with our life. By the way, as a parent, sometimes your kids can grieve you. They make you sad, right? I mean, take you into that place of sadness. Then the second thing is that he can be quenched. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, the word quench means to put it out. Put out the fire. The Holy Spirit, He puts a fire in our life, and yet through sin and through us not doing things that we know to do and doing things we know we shouldn't be doing, we quench the Holy Spirit of God in our life, and we put that fire out. How many times do you see people on fire for the Lord? We always use that statement, don't we? It's called youth camp or revival. Well, they're on fire. Well, guess what? Somebody quenches their fire, and they quench it in their own life. We do. You know, we have great revival. And I hope the greatest revival we had this year was our missions conference. And buddy, I'm telling you, still I have a fire in me right now because of that meaning. How am I going to quench that fire in me? Quench the Holy Spirit that's in me. I want to allow Him to keep burning in my life. How do you feed the fire of the Holy Spirit? Through the Word of God. We see the last thing that can happen in our life, that he can be lied to. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, remember a couple named Ananias and Sapphira? The Bible says that they lied to the Holy Ghost. You know what? The Holy Ghost can tell you to do something and you don't do it. Guess what? You're going against that, the Holy Ghost, and saying, nope, that's all the money we got. Holy Spirit knows. God knows. In your life, when he tells you to do something and you don't do it completely, or some don't do it at all. And so those are the three things. Those are the side notes. Now back to the message. So to the Holy Spirit's ministry in the believer's life. Number one, we see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this last week, so I'm not going to dwell on it a lot. But in chapter 14 and verse 17, we see that he said that he'll be in us, and he and us in him. And so the Holy Spirit indwells the believer when? At the moment of conversion. When you accept Jesus Christ your Savior, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. Like that. Why? Because God doesn't want 1 second of your life to be without Him once you call upon Him. He wants a presence in your life. Why is that? Because He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. If the Holy Spirit didn't come in and indwell you at the moment of salvation, the Scripture would be a lie. Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us here, because He has His Holy Spirit in us. He has His Spirit in us that is guiding us and sometimes goading us. Amen? And so we see that He indwells us. Number two, we see also, by the way, this is another sidebar here, but John chapter 14, verse 17 says, the lost cannot be indwelled. A lost person cannot be indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Let me read that. Some of you looked at me. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. There it is. That's Scripture. Well, in the Greek, that's me. That's what the Scripture says. A lost person cannot have the Holy Spirit inside of them. Holy Spirit can come to them and convict them and convince them. Yes, the Holy Spirit can do that. But the Holy Spirit does not indwell them. That is only for the believer. Then the second thing we see, the illuminating of the Holy Spirit, how He illuminates us. Notice in chapter 16, verse 13, He says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. He will not, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will what? Show you things to come. He will illuminate you. He will open your mind and your understanding. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read this. This is a very good portion of scripture we need to know. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Everybody knows verse 9, but we'll read down to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 9, it says, "As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Now, I believe that could talk about heaven and all those things, but I believe he's really speaking here in context of when the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, how he opens your understanding. There's things that I understand now that I didn't understand when I first got saved. How he opens our mind. Now, I understand when we get to heaven, I've not seen, ear, have not heard of those things. But I think also, sometimes we get so, not heavenly minded, but we get so heavenly viewed, is that we forget here on earth, God will still bless us and God will help us here on this earth. Amen. Now notice verse 10. But God hath revealed, now notice that he continues verse 9, he says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the thing of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, thank the Lord, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in word, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing scriptural things with what? Scriptural things. But the natural man," who is that? That's the lost man, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto them." I just can't understand that Bible. I've tried 16 different versions. I don't understand it. You know why? Because you ain't got the helper. You ain't got the illuminator in your life. Yeah, they want to make a superhero video. Make that the illuminator. He will illuminate you and help you to understand the Scripture. You can keep reading all the way to verse 16, but the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Scripture. By the way, you're not going to read it through one time and go, "Got it." This is a living Word. I don't know how many times I've read it through and I still go, "That's in the Scripture." I love when somebody preaches something, you go, "Is he reading the King James Bible?" You do it too, don't you? Right. And then you're like, "Oh, that is in there. How do I just see it now?" Because the Holy Spirit is making it light in my life. You ever lived in your house and then realized certain parts of your house you never really noticed before, or your yard? You know? The light hits things just right. Like, "Oh, I never noticed that. I didn't notice that was that color until the light hits it." Light does amazing things, doesn't it? We see not only that, the Holy Spirit does not want worship. He illuminates us so we can see the things of God. And then the third thing, we see that the Holy Spirit empowers us. John chapter 20, we'll read these real quick and I'll be done. John chapter 20, we see that in verse 19, here they are in the upper room. And of course, John chapter 20, and verse 19, John chapter 20, verse 19, as soon as I get over there. And we see that the Scripture says, "In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut," I like that, "where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be still." Why did he say that? Because he just walked through the wall. He's supposed to be dead. There's always a Thomas in the crowd. "And when he said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." He's fixing to send them out. He's going to send them out as missionaries, as pastors. And notice what's going to happen. He says, "And when he had said this," because he said, "I'm going to send you out," he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." He filled them with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling Spirit ministry began. And we see that the empowerment came too in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But why did He give them power? Why did He enable them? Why did He equip them? Why did He do those things? Why did He empower them? So they could go out and win souls for Jesus Christ. So they would have the power. I'm telling you, I don't know how many doors I've knocked and got there and somebody asked me a question. I go, and a verse just comes to my mind. A story, an illustration comes to my mind. Boom. I walk away from that door going, I hadn't thought about that verse in years. How does that happen? Holy Spirit empowers you to do those things. How do you stand and teach kids in children's church? Buddy, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has to empower you and enable you to do those things. The last thing tonight is that we see that the Holy Spirit equips us. Notice what He says again. Well, I'll read real quick and back in chapter 16 again in verse 13. He says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth come, He will guide you into all truth." He will guide you into all truth. In other words, He will equip you to live the life of righteousness that you need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are equipped, as we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that we are equipped to produce the fruit of the Spirit. How in the world are you going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith? How are you going to do those things? Through the Holy Spirit empowering you and equipping you to do those things. People say, "Preacher, I just can't do that." You can't through your flesh. If you would have met me many years ago, you would have said, "He ain't going to be a preacher." You probably met me yesterday and thought that. Is he a preacher? Yeah. And I thought the same thing. I kind of felt like Moses. I was like, "Lord, you called the wrong number. Lord, you set off the wrong beeper." Remember beepers? Those are awesome. Lord, you're calling the wrong person. Some of y'all just thought about that. But you know what happened is that I just said yes to Him. I said, "Lord, there ain't much here." Like Pastor always says, if you're looking for an eloquent preacher and associate pastor, it ain't neither one of us. We're just what God has made us and allowed us to be. When I first started pastoring, I started watching all these tapes. Y'all remember tapes, VHSs, of these preachers. And I was like, "Man, I want to be like him." So I tried that one. Nope, that didn't work. "Ooh, I want to be like that one. I like the way he does that." Nope. My wife's always telling me, she's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, trying to find out who I am. And then one day I just said, "You know what? I'm done with this. I'm a silly person. That's how I deal with my nerve. I'm just who I am." And I got up there and I preached. And my wife said, "That was probably the best service we ever had." I was like, "Why did I do that a long time ago?" Still trying to be everything else. I just let the Holy Spirit equip me and empower me to be what I just need to be. Because I'm nothing. You're nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. He equips us to do what He has called us to do. And He'll help you wherever you are in life. He will help you. He will enable you. He will empower you. He will equip you to do what you need to do. All you have to do is just say, "Here am I. Lord, I'm yours." Let your Holy Spirit do what He will with this vessel. Lord, it ain't much. But I promise you, He can use you if you just make yourself available. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. Thank You for Your blessings to us. And Father, tonight, thank You for Your Holy Spirit that lives in us, and guides us, and sometimes goads us, God, to get us back to where we need to be. Lord, and thank You again for His power, how He equips us to do what we need to do. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that just feels inadequate. And God, we all should feel that way to a certain extent. And in humility, coming to You and with a contrite heart and spirit. And Lord, just offer ourselves to You and say, "Lord, I have nothing of my own to offer, but Lord, through the Holy Spirit empowering me and equipping me, Lord, I'll do what You have me to do." And Lord, I know that there's people here tonight that just say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Lord, help us all tonight just to be those servants and those vessels. And we just thank You, God, again for Your love to us. We ask it in Christ's name.